1 Corinthians 14, please. We're going to be reading a few verses here, 26 through 40. So once you find your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'll begin reading in verse 26. You follow along silently here as we go through the end of the chapter, and we'll just go through it here, beginning in verse 26. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth and says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." And then in verse 40, he mentions this as a cap to all of these comments. "Let all things be done decently and in order." You understand that as Paul goes back to what he said, that God is not the author of confusion. God is also not the author of disarray. He's not the author of disorder. God is the God of order. And you know what? As a church, we need to make sure that all things are done decently and in order. That's the command and the example that we are to have in Scripture. So tonight, I just would like to help us, to encourage us in several areas to make sure that our lives are in order and not out of order, right? Because guess what? When they put up a sign and something says out of order, what do you not get to do? Use it, right? And so if our lives are out of order, or if our churches are out of order, guess what they're not going to be? Used. It needs to be done. Things need to be done decently and in order. The definition of the word order is simply something that is a regular disposition, a methodical arrangement of things, a proper state, or an established mode of proceeding. It indicates regularity and a settled mode of operation. Okay? Everybody okay with the word order, right? So when God says, let everything be done decently and in order, it's not supposed to be in disarray, right? It's not supposed to be herky-jerky, you know, it's not supposed to be all over the place. It's supposed to be orderly, it's supposed to be focused, it's supposed to be purposeful. That's what Paul is talking about. If you just read about the church at Corinth, right? What kind of church does it sound like? A disorderly church, all right? All the different things that are happening, all the different backbitings and awful things that are happening, and these people are doing this, and those people are doing that, and we even read in 1 Corinthians 11 last week how they were misusing and misappropriating the Lord's Supper, and just there was just disarray and disorder in the church. And so Paul says, look, if these gifts are present here, And you know, we're just talking topically what this actual scripture was for. He says, look, if there's going to be the speaking in tongues, there's going to be the prophesying, make sure that it's all in line. And you notice he says, make sure it's in line with the prophets. Don't make sure it's not some new revelation, some new thing. He says it needs to line up with scripture. And then he goes on to say, look, if there be three of you that are doing this, then one be the judge. And man, there's, you know, he puts some parameters here to keep things in order. Because he says God is not the author of confusion. So as we think of these things and we apply them to life today, here in our lives, in our families' lives, and in our church's life, if you will, we need to make sure that our lives are decent and in order. That it's going by a settled mode of operation. It has regularity. It has an established mode of proceeding, a methodical arrangement, and a regular disposition. This is what our lives need to be. Let me ask you a question. Do things work better when they're in order or when they're out of order? Yeah. You say, man, that's such a general blanket statement. Does it have to be difficult? Does it have to be a deep thought? No, it can be surface, can't it? And guess what? When you have a schedule in life, do things go a little smoother for you? They do. Yeah. People like me, I have to make myself have a schedule. Because left to myself, this is me. Okay? I'm everywhere. All right? One of my dear friends, Brother Jeff York, after being at junior camp with me a few times, as the leader, he would just bark out, squirrel! You know? Because just distracted by everything. So if I don't set a schedule and have a schedule and purpose, then I don't have one. Okay? I guess I'm just a naturally disorderly person. And not in a sinful negative way, but just in a sporadic kind of way. The term fly by the seat of your pants, okay? It should have my picture next to it in the dictionary, all right? Because that's my personality type, all right? So I have to fight against that. Can I tell you something? Most of us as human beings are not naturally orderly people. Now, there are those that are like that, where everything's got to have its space. And you know what? You are wonderful people. I could never be like you. Okay, but I aspire to be like you. Okay, in spirit. Now my flesh fights against that because of my nature. But our lives need to be in order. Let me ask you a question. I don't know. I'm favoring this side today. I should purpose to be over here today. Do you guys feel neglected since I'm always over there? I apologize. I'll try to make you feel better. But do we have purpose as Christians? Is our life of value and have meaning to it? Okay, it does. And what is that value and that meaning of our life? It's for God, right? Because we are bought with a price. We are not our own. There is a purpose. We are to live for God. And if I'm going to live for God with purpose, it needs to be with order. Because I am God's. And if God's a God of order, then I need to be in order so that when God walks up to the machine of my life and looks at the sign, it says in order and not out of order. Because I want to be used of God. And you want to be used of God. That should be our desire, should it not? And so we need to, first of all, talk about having our life in order. We need to live the way we should live. We should do the things that we should do. We should go back and look at Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and many other places in Scripture, and see the biblical truths that we should walk in the Spirit, and we should not walk in the flesh. We should be Christians
that are in order. What is our regular disposition? What is our methodical arrangement? What is our proper state? What is our established mode of proceeding? What is our regularity? What is our settled modus operandi? Right? That's a fancy word. Okay? That's mode of operation. What do I do? How do I do it? How do I go about it? And all that I am and all that I am to be should be in order for God. You know what that means? Say no to sin. Crucify the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Read my Bible. Pray. Serve the Lord. Think about God. Say no to the flesh. Have my mind renewed. There's about 50 verses that come to mind. And they all have to do with how I live my life as an individual being. Am I in order for God? Is my life decent and in order for His purpose? Our lives need to be in order. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I looked up the phrase in order. I think it was 28 or so times listed in Scripture. Many of them had to do with the tabernacle, which we just studied. That things were in order according to such and such and such. But some of them had to do with life. First of all, I want you to think about what Luke wrote to this man Theophilus. And Theophilus is an interesting character. We don't really know much about him. But Luke was a medical doctor. We know that. And he wrote to Theophilus. And I want you to listen to the introduction of the book of Luke as Luke is penning these accounts. Now remember, Luke was not an eyewitness. He is recording these things as told him, not only from the Holy Spirit, but from the people like Paul that he was around and others that he met and came in contact with. But I want you to listen to this. Luke says this, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order." Notice that? "A declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, from which from the beginning were eyewitnesses." So you notice he's saying these things were delivered unto us, and we're putting them in order, setting forth a declaration of these things. And then he says, and ministers of the word, he said, "It seemed good to me also, and having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first," he says, "to write to thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things." And then he gives this phrase, "wherein thou hast been instructed." Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound like an ordered life? Yes. That these things are sure. These things are foundational. This is an eyewitness account. These things are a declaration. And Theophilus should know these things. He should know the certainty of these things. And because he has been instructed in these things, giving Theophilus order in his life. That's something that we all need. And then I was brought to the passage of Scripture about Hezekiah. It's mentioned actually twice in this way, once in 2 Kings and once in Isaiah. But this is the account from 2 Kings chapter 20. It says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in..." Yeah. Now there's that term, right? You're all familiar with that term. What does that mean? Get all your affairs in line because you're going to die, right? You're going to pass on from this life, so you need to have everything in order before you die. Okay? And that was Hezekiah's case. God sent the prophet to tell him this. He says, "For thou shalt die and not live." Then he, that's of course Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now we know the end of that story, that God gave him some more time, didn't he? And he answered his prayer. Why do you think that God answered Hezekiah's prayer? Because God said, Hezekiah, you're right. You have walked according to my path. Your life is in order. And I'm going to let you live a little bit longer. You understand, God was going to continue to use Hezekiah. And he did continue to use Hezekiah. In Psalm 101, David writes and says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Well, what do you hear when you hear a psalm like that? Do you hear a life of order? I do. Do you hear a life of order or disorder? It's order, right? And so David, in his spirit, he says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. You understand that because Jesus Christ is our Savior, we get to live an orderly life. We do. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And we should count it as such. We should say, yay, I get to live holy. I get to live righteous. I get to be like Job and be a righteous and upright man that fears God and eschews evil. I want to push it away. Just like David said, he said, hey, I'm not going to let these people in my sight. I'm not going to let them be in my house. I'm going to cut them off. I'm not even going to be around these things. What was David saying? He said, I'm going to live a life of order. I'm going to live a life that's decent. In our society today, living a holy, separated, godly life is a curse. Yeah, that's what they think. Oh, you poor Baptists. You're under such oppression. You need to be liberated from those evil preachers that are making you do all these things that you don't want to do. Sorry, I have to laugh about that. No. No, we get to. I want to be in order. And I know this is really fleshly, but I just think of a video game machine that has a sign up. I really wanted to play this game. And it's got this handwritten note, out of order. But I wanted to play Asteroids, you know. Yeah, all you older people just smiled, and I love that because that's fantastic. You're like, what? All the kids are like, huh? You know that? No? Okay. Now, some of my kids have those little personal little, they're built like an old arcade box with a little joystick on them. They don't even know what the big ones look like, you know, the old ones. But, you know, it was just such a bummer. That's an old word. That the game was out of order. You know, when God walks up to your life, is he going to find a handwritten sign? Out of order. It shouldn't be that way. Why would you want to disappoint the Lord like that? Why would I want to disappoint the Lord like that? He wanted to use me. He wanted to, but I wasn't available because my life was out of order. Paul tells the church, look, everything needs to be done decently and in order. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 13, he says to the Corinth church in Corinth, he says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned. Boy, this sounds like some official kind of a document. And to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we are also, are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace shall be with you. What does Paul want? He wants these people to live a life that's in order. He worked so hard to help these people in Corinth. Why? Because he loved these people. These people meant something to him. And he just wants their lives to be a life of order. Paul wrote to Timothy and told him that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. David writes in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. David wrote later in the same psalm, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. In Psalm 37, David penned, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We need to live a life of order. And that order needs to be ordered by God. You understand that when a video game is working properly, it's going by the program that the designer programmed it to go by, right? And when it's not working orderly, guess what it's not doing? It's not working according to the program that the programmer designed it to be programmed by. So you understand that. You say, that's really simple. Yes, it's really simple. Who's our programmer? God. And if we're not going by the program that the designer programmed us by, then guess what we are? Out of order. If we revert back to our old program, guess what? That's the devil's. We're not supposed to go by that program. We're supposed to be dead to that program. We're supposed to be alive to the new program. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That old program is passed away. That's where the out of order sign should be, right? On the old life. And the in order sign should be on for the new life. Well, another area that we should be in order is we should have our service in order. Not just our life in order, but our service in order. Now, we'll get to the church. That's where the main point of the text is all about. It's about the church. And we're going to get there. But can I tell you something? The church is made up of individual people. And guess what? If individual people's lives are not in order, guess what the church is not going to be? The church is not going to be in order, okay? So we got to get the cart before the horse, the horse before the cart like it's supposed to be, not the other way around, okay? So we have to have our lives in order, and then we need to have our service in order. As I looked at this phrase, in order, I came across lots of things, like in Leviticus, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in two rows, six up on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath shall he set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto the Lord, unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, unto by a perpetual statute. What is it all? There's an order to everything. You know, there ought to be an order to the local church. How things go, how things are supposed to be held. But you know what? And like I said, we're going to get to that. But our service to the Lord needs to be in order. You say, who determines how I serve God? God does. One of the silliest statements I've ever heard in my life was, I don't feel like I'm worshiping God. Since when does it matter if we feel like it or not? Who determines how God is worshiped? God. Who determines the service of the tabernacle, the service of the temple, the service of the local church? God. How do we know what it is? It's in the book. We have an example. We have the scriptures to tell us. And you say, but I just don't feel. I don't care how you feel. And I'm really not trying to be rude. I can try to be rude. I have that button in my arsenal. But I'm not trying to be rude tonight. You understand, it doesn't matter how we feel about it. God wants to be worshiped his way. God wants to be served his way. Not what I think, not what you think, but what God says. In Ezra chapter 6, the children of Israel had gotten away from serving God as they should. And Ezra set in order the way it was supposed to be. In Ezra 6:18, it says, and they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. So they got things back to the order of service that God wanted it to be. In 2 Chronicles, as Hezekiah, we talked about him, it says the burnt offerings were in abundance, and the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. It says, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. You know what happened when the service was set in order? Hezekiah rejoiced, all the people rejoiced, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. This all came about suddenly, but it was done in order, and there was rejoicing. You can rejoice when you serve God because your service is in order. Remember back in Scripture, there was a time where two young men came to serve the Lord and sacrifice unto God. One's sacrifice was in order, and he was commended for his sacrifice and his service. The other's sacrifice was out of order. Was he commended for his service? No, he was rebuked for it. It was rejected. You say, well, I want to serve God this way. But is that what God wants? We have to understand that our service needs to be in order. God wants to use us in a mighty way. But we have to be yielded to His ways and His paths and His commands. Guess what? We don't get to say, I want it my way. We need to do it God's way. So as we come to serve the Lord, we need to come submitting to Him. That's how we're in order. When we're a submissive tool, God can use us. And He can use us the way He wants to use us. You say, but I have talents and abilities. Don't you think that God knows what your talents and abilities are? Don't you think that God knows how best to use them? Well, I know what I need to do. No, we need to submit to God and let Him do with us what He wants to do. So we need to make sure that our service is in order. We don't need to be the kind that is a stiff-necked servant. We don't need to be the kind that's a wicked and slothful servant. We need to be the kind that is a good and faithful servant. When the master went away and gave the five talents to the one, and when he came back, the man brought the five and another five, he did what the master wanted him to do. And the one with the two got the same commendation, but the one that knew about the master but did things his own way received the condemnation of thou wicked and slothful servant. Our service to God needs to be in order. Well, as we close out tonight, and you guys are doing great. I have 30 seconds for this last point. Our church needs to be in order. People give Baptists a hard time because we are so rigid in many things. But we're not rigid because we're uncompassionate. Or we're not so rigid because, you know, it's our way or the highway. We're rigid and set in our ways because it's God's ways. And who are we to change them? Why would I, as a man, why would I, as someone who's called to serve here in this local church, think that I'm better than God and have a better way than God does and do things my own way? You say, well, you're just following the traditions of those of old. Well, let me just give you a good phrase. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's what God says, why do we think we have something better? Did you know that our flesh is always longing for something new? You notice that, right? I mean, let me prove it to you. Okay? What is the next level of iPhone coming out? Okay, you kids know. What is it? The what? A 15? I saw the titanium ones. Is that the next thing that's coming out right now? It's already out, so we're already looking for the next one. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't keep up with these things. That's how out of touch I am. but listen, what people are always looking for the next best whatever, right? What does it say about the last times? That people are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, we got to get the new doctrine and oh, this new thing and this new... No. What about the old paths? Remember Jeremiah? We went through that several weeks. He says, hey, get back to those old paths. They're good. It was good for our fathers, right? It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion, Right? And, you know, that's just a hymn. That's just a song. But why do we want to change everything? I like being an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. I do. I find great security in that. Why? Because I don't have to remember what I've changed. You know, it's like the person that tells a lie. You know, telling a lie is one of the hardest things in the world. You know why? Because you got to remember what you lied about. When you tell the truth, you only have to remember one thing. The truth. You don't have to remember what story you told to what person to cover up this, to cover up that, to cover up this. You don't have to worry about any of that. So, you know, if we don't change from this book and we just stay in order, I think that's pretty easy. That's pretty simple. You say, yeah, but it doesn't work for everybody. Why not? It works for God. So it should work for everybody. So the church needs to be in order. You understand that Christ, as he set up the church, he wanted the church to be in order. In Matthew 28, I put this whole thing in here. I'm going for the Great Commission, but I was astonished by this because I guess I hadn't really noticed this before. So I put it in here because I thought it was fun. In verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now, think about this. This just blew my mind. So the 11 went to a mountain, and where Jesus appointed them to go, they met him, they saw him, and they worshiped him. Everybody okay with the text so far? And then the Bible makes this statement. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I'm like, huh? How is this possible? Y'all ever noticed that verse before? Because we always skip over it and go to the Great Commission, right? The 11 were called together. The ones that stood faithful, right? Judas betrayed the Lord. These 11 went with. They went to the place they worshipped. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we have this given to the church. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, I don't have time to go through it all, but verses 1 through 11, you understand that the church in its entirety, the 120, there were gathered together. They were given a charge by the Lord. He ascended up in front of their eyes. They were looking up going, because the angel said, why stand you here gazing? You know, go into Jerusalem, get out of here, he'll come back. And it says that they would be given power. They were not to depart from Jerusalem. They did that. They met together in one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit of God came. They went out and preached the word of God. 3,000 people got saved. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, they're all meeting together, breaking bread from house to house, and continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They're learning and they're growing. They're in order. They're doing what they're supposed to do, being what they're supposed to be as the local church. And they continue on through the book of Acts Peter and John, and they do their part, and the other disciples, and then Saul of Tarsus comes in and scatters the church, and it goes on, and some start dropping off and being killed and such and so forth, and being spread apart. But the church is doing what it's supposed to be doing in order. And guess what? There are great results. All over the world. Remember how it was said of Paul that he says these are they that are turning the world upside down. They were making an impact for Christ. Why? Because they were in order. And as Paul takes charge over this church of Corinth, he says, look, all these things that you're doing, make sure that when you're doing them, that it's not confusion, that it's not upside down, that it's not out of turn, but that is decent and in order. A church is not supposed to be at odds with one another. A church is not supposed to be in disarray. There's supposed to be an order to it. Every joint and every piece is supposed to be doing what it's supposed to be doing unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's what a local church needs to be. God has given to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cutting craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What does that sound like? It sounds like a church in order. Whose order is it? It's God's order. God's design. All put in to God's word for us. With this book and the help of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer, I can live a life that's in order. I can provide a service to God, a service that's in order. And I can be a part of a local church doing my part in the body of Christ so that the church is in order. And God can use it and God can bless it because it's that all things, Paul says, are done decently and in order.